This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. Thrilled today to be joined by Dr. Joseph Scalia. Dr. Scalia is a transplant surgeon and a brilliant inventor as well, does fascinating things. Looking forward to visiting with him today. Dr. Scalia, can you take a moment to introduce yourself?
Scott, thank you so much for the opportunity to address the group. It's so exciting to be able to talk to other providers and certainly yourself about innovation. So firstly, thank you. I introduced myself by saying I'm a super excitable, passionate transplant surgeon in Baltimore, Maryland. I've been here for about 4.5 years. I do kidney, liver, and pancreas transplants. And we treat patients with organ failure. Previously to that, I was at the University of Wisconsin for training, as well as Harvard University and the University of Maryland.
And talk about your journey to becoming a doctor. Are you one of these people that grew up from 7 years old, always wanted to be a doctor, or tell us about your journey?
I certainly didn't grow up knowing I was going to be a doctor. I guess when I think back on it, and since our last conversation, I've spent some time thinking about how it happened. And you know, I've always been a very curious person. Growing up, my father was an engineer in aerospace engineering. He had graduated from MIT, and I always thought I was going to be an engineer. I loved building things. I used to build go-karts, and then eventually I built remote control airplanes, which has some relevance to some of the stuff I do now. And I sort of considered myself an engineer as a young person, but I was always very creative, interested in the arts and music. I was in several bands, and I was painting. And when I was in college, committed to this idea I was going to be an engineer, there was something about the engineering process that I was missing. I was really missing that human interaction, the human component. What was the greater good? What was the impact? Although I don't think it was quite sophisticated a thought at that time, but there was something that was missing. And I drifted a little bit into the business world because there was more human interaction there, and finished with a degree in information technology and looking for a job, and frankly, working at PricewaterhouseCoopers, which was a wonderful experience at the time. One of my now lifelong mentors, my uncle, who happens to be a surgeon, said, "You know, what are you doing with yourself? Let's put some of those analytical skills to work. Why don't you come and spend some time with me?" And so I rounded with him. I was immediately hooked on surgery. And then after, a year after graduating college, I pursued medical school. And during that process, fell in love with very complicated things like immunology, which I think I was the worst at in medical school, but somehow ended up in transplantation nonetheless. And so that process has been exciting, I think very much driven by both creativity and curiosity.
And talk about now, you've built this great transplant program, you've built a great career as a transplant surgeon, but talk about some of the other initiatives you're involved in that relate to transplant. Talk a little bit about those.
Absolutely. And so, always be fearful of people who have frustration and energy. So I started my work here at the University of Maryland, growing our pancreas transplant program, and pancreas transplant rates around the country have dropped substantially over the last decade. And I was charged with growing that program at Maryland to provide patients with diabetes and kidney failure an opportunity to get the combined simultaneous pancreas and kidney transplant. That's an option for patients that allows you to come off of dialysis potentially, as well as insulin, depending on the situation. And so that was my charge when I began here at the University of Maryland, and using a approach where we deconstructed the supply chain and the process around identifying patients for the operation and around getting those transplants done, we grew that program from 9 transplants a year to more than 40 and became the busiest center in the United States in 2017. And we've since held a position in the top 3 nationwide, and certainly our quality is very high as well. And in the process of growing that program, Scott, I became really frustrated by how hard it was to move organs. You know, I got people dying that need organ transplants, and it was so hard to get them transplanted. Why? Not because they didn't have a donor, but because the donor was 300 miles away and because the commercial airliners didn't have a flight. So the commercial airliners were dictating which one of my patients got a transplant. I rejected that. I just said, and I continued to, it's not right. We are here to help these patients get transplanted. And so I said, there's got to be a better way. You know, we can do lots and lots of things on demand. How come I can't do that in transplant? What if we had on demand, point to point, hospital to hospital delivery of human organs? And, you know, getting back to my interest in engineering and my father's training in aerospace, I said, why don't we put these things on a drone? You know, we've got all sorts of new technologies out there, some of which I'm familiar with and others which I'm certainly not, but I know there's got to be a solution. Let's do that. And I garnered some local interest and a ton of skepticism and said, there's got to be a way to do this, guys. Let's do it. So I began working with engineers here locally. We raised some funds internally. We developed and patented some technologies that would begin to allow us to do this. And that process, just like pancreas transplantation, you know, you start with a great big problem, and you break it down into smaller problems. And we said, if organs are going to be moved in an unmanned fashion, then we need to monitor them and learn what's going on so that I can share with my colleagues around the world when we're doing this, what's happening to them. So we conceptualized, designed, and patented and built the first organ monitoring system that allowed us to understand the environmental exposures to organs during flight, as well as shipment by car, even traditional means, but certainly in a drone. And then we completed our first drone flights in 2018, and then we did the first ever human transplant, you know, of an organ moved by drone in 2019. And it was with great excitement that about the same time we founded the first of two companies, Mission Go, which is now a commercialized effort to bring that technology, that is to say, unmanned shipment of life-urgent payloads directly to the patient.
How is that going? How is this concept of unmanned drones bringing organs to people, if that's exactly what it is? I'm probably hitting it not exactly right. But how is that going? How is that coming along?
Well, yeah, it's a complicated topic, but it's one that a ton of people have interest in. You know, when we did the first transplant of an organ moved by drone in 2019, more than a billion people were touched by that story. And it certainly led to publications in the Annals of Surgery and JAMA Surgery and some other incredible news outlets. Very fortunate to be part of that team. And frankly, I just a plug for my team, the greatest group of people I've ever worked with in my life. It's going incredibly well. Why? Because there's so much positive energy behind it. There's such a need here to do better. And is it going to be tomorrow that we're moving organs by drone? No, I don't think it's going to be. I think it's going to take a while. But I think it's going to take a while because people are doing it smartly and thoughtfully, addressing each of the critical elements and each of the critical challenges that face us in that way. So Mission Go is the company that's really gotten behind this. Mission Go is a Baltimore-based unmanned aircraft and payload delivery company, and that doesn't just move organs, for sure. Although that is sort of the medical arm of what the company is doing. Very exciting. Lots of incredibly dedicated and very smart people involved in that process, inclusive of folks that previously were at the FAA, scientists, engineers, and others.
So fascinating stuff. I mean, and this should be viewed very differently than my son with his hand-controlled airplane. This moving organs is very different than that, right? I mean, I shouldn't confuse it with that.
Well, yeah. I mean, some of the most basic physics are the same, right? I mean, you've got a device that's taking off from one location and landing in another. I mean, that's the most simplistic way to look at it. In that way, they're the same. But never fear, Scott. The people behind this, the people that are moving organs by drone, are doing this in such a thoughtful, highly regulated, and safe way that the two are nearly incomparable. So, I mean, there are multiple pilots. There are detect and avoid systems. I don't know all of the details of the technology behind this, and I don't want to misspeak, but what I can say is that people who have spent 25 years in the manned aircraft industry and potentially as much in the unmanned aircraft industry are the ones who are carefully and thoughtfully going through this process step by step to make sure our patients get on-demand shipment of organs, minimizing the time between explant an implant. So this is really a major leap for medicine and for transplantation. It is different.
So just magnificent stuff. I mean, you must be so thrilled to have become so passionate about the career you ended up in, and then these different pieces of the career that help you make it better as well. Time for one more question. What advice do you give a physician who's trying to have a great career? Not just a great career, like they made money, which is not unimportant, pays the bills, they employ people, they do a lot of important things, they take care of their family and all those things. Nothing wrong with making money, all good. But what about having this kind of fulfillment you have? What advice do you have to somebody to make sure they have a career they both do well in and they love, that works, that checks all those boxes? What advice do you have for people?
I got to say, I'm going to sound a little bit silly here, perhaps, but I don't care. You know, I got a couple. One, you know, the first piece of advice I would have is be kind, right? Identify yourself as somebody who's kind and driven by the mission. And because number one, I think it's probably true for most people, especially when you're passionate about something. But two, it will help you get further faster, right? I think people who are not kind have a harder time. I think hard work clearly underlies the success here, right? I probably wasn't the first person to think about putting something life urgent on a drone. An AED had been done for research purposes in the past. We took a great big leap with moving a transplantable human organ. That is true. But, that idea by itself doesn't win the Nobel Prize. You know, what matters here is that we said, we're going to do it. We're going to execute. We're actually going to make this happen. And we're going to solve all of those little problems along the way. And so kindness, hard work. And then the last thing I would say is vision. Don't be scared of your vision. Go for it. When you get frustrated by something and you identify a need, that's your need to satisfy. That's our calling. That's our opportunity to nail it. That's our opportunity to say, you know, there's no reason patients are going to deal with this in the future. I'm taking it out. This is what I'm going to do. I had a great conversation recently with an anesthesiologist here at the University of Maryland, who's quite brilliant, works in pain management. She's sick of watching people die of opioid overdose. And she came up with a brilliant idea about how to get that through the system and try to a beautiful solution to that problem using a device. And she encountered a ton of skepticism and challenge, and she doesn't have funding for it and all these sorts of things. And, you know, with a little bit of positivity, kindness, and motivation, she's up and running, got seed funded, and she's going to build it, you know? And, you know, don't let those little, those opportunities, or I should say, let me rephrase it. The small frustrations that you experience are probably huge frustrations for your patients, and they're an incredible opportunity to grow both in your career, commercially, and most importantly, in order to improve the life of our patients, which is why we're all here.
Well, you've made a fascinating point, and I want to pick up on the last one. You said something that resonates with anybody who's ever accomplished anything in life. On the other side of accomplishment, people look at them and they say, well, that was easy. They're talented. They're lucky. They're something. And what is not stated and what people don't see is all those millions of little frustrations, the bureaucracy you have to fight through to be successful at almost anything today. And so the grind it takes, both, yes, being kind, hard work, and the willingness to play through, to persevere, to keep through it, is so much that makes a difference between people that really accomplish great things, plus their teams, of course, and people that don't. And I think you really highlighted it well, Dr. Scully. I love that.
Well,
I want to say,
so much.
And Dr. Scully, I want to thank you for joining us today. I do want to ask you, where can people learn more about a couple of these initiatives? Is there a place people can learn, you know, this transplant, strengthening, improving the transplant process, so important? How can people learn more about what you're doing and your initiatives?
Yeah, thanks, Scott. So there are two ways, really three ways. You could, of course, find me online and through email on the University of Maryland's website. I'm an associate professor of surgery here. I study immunology. And, of course, I perform transplants. We do a bunch of transplants here. And so you can find me that way, sort of in the most physicians probably find that easiest. The second way is through our two companies. One is really Medigo. And that's where I just want to spend 1 minute and focus on Medigo. Medigo, M-E-D. IGO, Medigo, is the first comprehensive organ management platform for human organs. So in the context of moving and in the process of learning how to move an organ by drone, we first had to understand where it was and what was happening to it. And the prototypes that we built in my lab generated the stimulus for a company called Medigo to begin building that actual device. And that technology is now out there. It's being used. It's been used many, many times. Proprietary information probably won't let me share exactly with who and when, but that process is going on right now. And if you want to learn more about the first ever comprehensive organ management system that helps us learn where organs are, what's happening to them, and when they're going to get where they're going, www.gomedigo.io. And then secondly, you can find us at www.missiongo.io to learn more about the unmanned project.
Fantastic. Dr. Scalia, thank you so much for joining us. The Becker's Healthcare Podcast just been magnificent. Thank you very much.
Scott, thank you so much. Onward and upward, as I always say.